Well, I wonder if you felt sorry for poor old Stupid and his friend Sir Lee. They were told not to run with a trifle. They ended up with it all over them. They were told not to eat the chilies. They ignored what their mother said, and they ended up getting hurt. They were told to revise for their exams. They didn't, and they failed. And it's very striking that as we come to Ephesians chapter 6, Paul gives some wisdom for young people for life. I don't know if you're a bit older this morning, what advice you would want to go back and give your younger self. If you're here this morning, what wisdom do you think your parents might give you? If there is one bit of advice for a happy life, one thing to be wise as you go through life, one way to avoid pain, one way to gain as much success in this earthly life as you possibly can, I wonder what it would be. Maybe it would be something like trust Jesus. Maybe it would be work hard. Maybe it would be honest. Maybe it would be invest in property. I don't know. Wear sun cream. Paul says something that I think comes as a real shock to us. Are we ready for this? Are we ready to hear the secret of a happy life? Paul says the secret to a successful life is to obey your parents. And we think you're joking. Paul, you cannot be serious. Why would you say make that so important? We live in a culture where being a rebel is cool, where to kick against authority is seen as a good thing. Authority itself is a dirty word in our culture, along with words like submission or obedience. And yet Paul says, Ephesians chapter 6, children, obey your parents the way the Lord wants. And he gives us two reasons why. If we find that hard to believe, he gives us two reasons why. The first is just that it's right. That's what it says. This is the right thing to do. So we want to say respect has to be earned. And God says, no, it doesn't. There are certain people who have authority just by virtue of who they are. That's true of people in government. It's true of the police and judges in court. It's true of teachers, and it's true of parents. Now, of course, Paul isn't talking here about being told to do something that's wrong. This is to obey our parents the way the Lord wants. In the Pew Bibles, it says to obey in the Lord. If we're told to do something that's cruel or wrong or abusive, we're not to go along with that. But when someone in legitimate authority tells us to do something, and there's no reason not to, Paul tells us to obey. I've got a friend who tells his kids there are three things that make up obedience. If you're going to obey, you've got to do something straight away, all the way, and happily. So we're to do things straight away. If we dawdle and are reluctant and drag our feet, that's not obedience. We're to do it all the way. If we're told to tidy our room and we do half a job, that's not obedience. And we're to do it happily. So if we go and go, oh, that's boring, so unfair, that's not obedience either. Obedience, to be obedience, it has to be done happily, all the way, and straight away. And when that happens, it's beautiful. So think of, I guess all of us have seen situations where parents are telling their kids what to do. So little Johnny is there, and Mum says, Johnny, can you come here for a moment, please? Or Dad is walking down the street with little Johnny, and Johnny takes off and he's running. And Dad says, stop, because there's a car coming. Or Mum and Dad say, can you tidy that up before tea, please? And there's two ways that situation can go. Either little Johnny is going to go, no, why should I? In which case, the whole atmosphere is going to be full of confrontation and fighting for the next few minutes. It's going to be really ugly. Or the child can go, yes, Mum, yes, Dad. Those are phrases as important as please, sorry, and thank you, to learn to say yes, Mum, a yes, Dad. And that is never going to come naturally to any of us. And parents have to teach it, but it's a vital life skill. There are two reasons why we need to learn to obey our parents. The first is it's just right. The second is it's the way to make life work. Have a look at what the verse says. It's printed on the sheet if you're a reader. It says, quoting the Ten Commandments, Paul says, the command says, honor your father and mother, This is the first command that has a promise with it. The promise is then everything will be well with you and you will have a long life on the earth. Now that is not a blanket promise that if I obey my parents, my life will be easy from now on. But think about what happens. The home is the place in God's plan where we're to learn to relate rightly to authority. So if someone is at home, I was trying to think how to dress someone up as a parent. So we've got a doll here. Anyone want to come and hold a doll and just kind of look tired? Ken, is that your hand up? Oh, cheers, Seb. Thank you. You're going to come and hold a doll and just look tired. So you don't have to, Seb. Oh, is Barbara going to come as well? Brilliant. Thank you very much. Okay, so the first place where to learn to relate to authority in God's plan is the home. So Seb, you're going to stay. Barbara, do you want to come and stay up here as well? Because when we get a bit older, if we can't relate rightly to authority in the home, well, we're going to really struggle when we get to school. That's not school. There we are. Why don't we... I know, boys and girls, you have absolutely no idea why I'm giving Barbara a piece of chalk to represent being a teacher. I know, but it was the closest I could think of. Okay, so if someone goes to school and they haven't learned to obey their authority, when the teacher says tells them to do something and they go no, then life is going to be really hard for them and for the rest of the class. But then what happens when they get a bit older? Does someone want to come and be a boss? Who's good at being a boss? Chris is shaking his head very firmly. Okay, let's dress you up. There we are. So on the first day at work, when the boss tells old Stuart Pitt and Sylvester Lee to do something, and they go, "Why should I?" Well, then there's going to be real trouble again. But then what happens when they get a bit older and come into contact with authority? So who wants to be a policeman? Seb, are you going to be a policeman for me? There we go. See, I heard a horrible story the other day about a kid in America, a teenager, walking down the street with a toy gun, very realistic looking. It was a BB gun. And someone saw him, called the police, and armed police turned up. And they shouted at him, "Armed police, drop your weapon." And instead of doing it, he turned around sulkily, and they shot him on the spot. See, what is going on in someone's head? What have they not learned about authority when their first thought, when armed police tell them to do something, is, "Why should I?" See, if we're going to live a life that isn't full of pain and unnecessary discomfort and pain to the people around us, we need to learn to obey in the home first and then through life. Can we give Seb and Barbara a big round of applause for being excellent policemen, parents, and teachers? Thank you very much. Oh, thank you. Oh, and chalk as well. Brilliant. Thank you very much. So if I go through life and at every turn I'm kicking against authority, my life is going to be very painful. And that is true for those around me as well. And it's a word to parents as well. Verse 4, "Fathers, don't make your children angry, but raise them with the training and teaching of the Lord." So in a culture in Paul's day where parents could do, dads especially, could do pretty much whatever they wanted to their kids, Paul says, don't make your kids angry. Don't irritate them. Don't be unreasonable. Make allowance for the fact that they're kids. They're immature. They're going to make mistakes. That's okay. He says, don't be sarcastic or harsh or cruel. Don't mock them. Don't play favorites. I wonder how those commands to parents and to children make you feel this morning. For some of us, it might make us cross. This sounds so different to anything we've heard in day-to-day life through the week, that to tell people to obey sounds like a recipe for abuse and taking advantage of people. I've got to be honest, reading these words just convicts me. Just makes me feel very guilty. It may be because I saw my dad yesterday for the first time in a while. It reminds me of all the ways in which I've dishonored my parents, things I've said to my parents, things I've said about my parents. I have wonderful parents. I've treated them very badly. They've made mistakes. I guess that's true for all of us here. But for most of us, the way that we've treated our parents, it could hardly be described as honoring them. Even if we're no longer at home, no longer under this command to obey our parents, we're still called to honor them. I feel deeply convicted as a son. I feel deeply convicted as a dad. Again, it may just be because this has been a really hard week parenting. I won't go into details, but I feel like I've made an awful lot of mistakes. The walk to school each morning hasn't been a great time. And I hear these calls not to exasperate our children, not to make them angry. And I think I'm not doing a great job of that. I'm not doing a great job teaching obedience. I imagine if I asked most of the dads here this morning, how are you doing teaching the kids about Jesus? I wonder what you'd say if I asked your kids what they'd learnt about Jesus from you. Some of us might say, well, no, I leave that to my wife. The command here is particularly to dads to take responsibility for that. And even if I am teaching with my lips, well, what are they learning about Jesus from my life? These words convict me as a son, as a dad. They convict me as a human being. See, all those different types of authority, the parents, the school teacher, the boss, the law enforcement. What is my problem with authority? Where does it come from? It comes because I have a problem with ultimate authority. The great authority in all the universe comes from the Lord God. And so if I have a problem with authority, it is because I have a problem with the one from whom all authority derives. We read in chapter 3 of Ephesians that all fatherhood in heaven and on earth derives from God. And so if I can't obey what I read in his word happily, all the way, straight away, what hope is there? We're going to think in a moment whether there could be any hope for people like us who struggle with obedience day to day. But this seems like a good point to pause and confess that we find this really hard, don't we? And the words of the confession are on our service sheets. You might like to take a look over it if we're readers. And I'm going to lead us. And if you'd like to join in, the refrain is save us and help us. Boys and girls, do you want to practice that? So when we say Father, when I say Father, forgive us, do you want to say save us and help us? Brilliant. Well done. Okay, let's pray. God our Father, we come to you in sorrow for our sins, for turning away from you and ignoring your will for our lives. Father, forgive us, save us, and help us. For behaving just as we wish without thinking of you. Father, forgive us, save us, and help us. For failing you by what we do and think and say. Father, forgive us, save us, and help us. For letting ourselves be drawn away from you by temptations in the world about us. Father, forgive us, save us, and help us. For living as if we were ashamed to belong to your Son. Father, forgive us, save us, and help us. Amen. Well, the wonderful good news of the Bible is that that prayer has already been answered. We're going to think more in a moment about how God has come to save us and help us. But we have this wonderful promise here from the Bible. May the Father forgive us by the death of his Son and strengthen us to live in the power of the Spirit all our days. What a great reminder that the reason to obey the Lord God is because he's the one who loves us best. And that gives us hope, because there wasn't much hope. If we take these verses on their own, that they're just crushing. We're rebels by nature against God and against all kind of authority around us. What hope could there be? I take it what we need is someone who understands obedience perfectly. Someone who always obeyed their earthly parents. Someone who was perfectly obedient to God himself. And as we read the Bible, we meet the Lord Jesus. And he is amazing. There is no one like him in the history of the world who has perfectly obeyed these verses that we read this morning. So we read in Luke's account of his life that he went down to Nazareth and was obedient to his father and mother, Mary and Joseph. We read in John's Gospel, John chapter 14, verse 31, Jesus says, "The world must know that I love the Father, So I do exactly what the Father has told me to do. So the one who had all power in the universe didn't think it was beneath him to submit to his father and mother and to God. Submission, obedience, authority were not dirty words to the Lord Jesus. But as we head towards Easter, can we see what the extraordinary irony of the cross is? See, this man who was perfectly obedient, perfectly submissive, always did what he was meant to, what was crucified, and why did he die? What was the charge? He was crucified for leading a rebellion. Remember the chief priests saying to Pilate, we found him subverting our nation. He opposes the payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Christ, a king. And do you remember that other character there at that first Easter? The prisoner. So here's my prisoner top. The prisoner Barabbas, who was in prison. Why? Because he was a rebel. He'd incited rebellion and had committed murder. He'd done all kinds of awful things. What happens at the cross? Pilate releases Barabbas, the rebel, and Jesus, the perfectly innocent one, dies in his place. Yeah, and it's not a great leap, is it, to put ourselves in Barabbas' shoes? Who ought to be wearing the prisoner's top? Barabbas, you and me. And if we trust in the Lord Jesus, what happens at the cross is that this prisoner's top, the condemned man's top, is taken off me. I am no longer treated as a rebel because the perfectly obedient son has died in my place. And if you're here this morning and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, can you see why Christians love the Lord Jesus? Can you see why the Bible says you need him so badly? Rebels like you and me cannot come before a holy God, having treated him the way that we've treated him, and expect to find mercy from him. And yet if we will trust in Jesus, we come before him clothed in his perfect obedience. And if you are here this morning as a Christian, don't these words give us hope? See, take Ephesians chapter 6 on its own and it's crushing. Look at it in the context of Ephesians. The context of this beautiful love of the Lord Jesus. And it's wonderfully liberating. See, who can teach me, who can empower me to be obedient to authority better than the Holy Spirit of a perfectly obedient son? I don't know, I guess there'll be many of us here this morning who have very complicated relationships with our earthly family. I take it all of us here this morning, if we're Christians, find it hard week by week, day by day, to obey our heavenly Father. And yet living inside us is the Holy Spirit of an awesomely, beautifully, perfectly obedient child, the Lord Jesus himself. And so as we seek to love one another as a family, as a church family, with all the mothers and brothers and sisters and fathers and uncles that we have together in the Lord Jesus here, how are we going to be able to live out this kind of beautiful love that we see in Ephesians? By the power of the Holy Spirit of the perfectly obedient Son. Amen.